Here we are, April 2010. Because of technology, we're working on a website. You're listening to this in 2025, 2035, and 45. And the future of business as you may see it. Talk about department stores and what we also have, box stores, standalone business. How do you see that kind of business developing over time?
Well, I'm maybe going to be accused of being old-fashioned. I think there's some fundamental principles. I don't think you're going to succeed in the long run unless you feel in your heart that people are smart. Customers are smart. They know what their needs are, and if you are dedicated to meeting their needs and making them happy and serving them with honor and honesty, then I think that people can succeed in business. Now, I have studied and used some modern techniques and modern accounting and inventory replenishment and computerized and electronic systems. And sure, efficiency is important, but you can be as efficient as you want, but if what you're selling people isn't what they need and you aren't treating them right and servicing the product, then I don't think you're going to succeed.
Internet business, what impact will that have? I mean, do you think in the years to come, does it have any impact on local business because we're buying on the internet?
I think the internet has a great benefit to consumers, even for those who don't buy over the internet. If you're shopping for a car, and most people don't get a new car, but let's say you were looking for a new car, I think to be an intelligent shopper, you need to go and see the different kinds and see what the ratings are and see what the features are and see what options and the local availability and get a better feel for the pricing. Same thing with all the gadgets and equipment and even things you'd have in your kitchen. There's so much information. Consumers and shoppers are better off when they are informed. And I think it's an information system. So the internet, I think, can be helpful to people. Of course, it's not the only game in town, and people can utilize it to the extent they want to.
Technology becomes a negotiating tool.
I think it does. It makes them better informed and better shoppers.
So a student who's thinking he sees retail in his life, he really wants to be in retail, would you talk to that student now? It's got to be a very tough business. You work many hours, as you've indicated, and you have to like it.
I think you do, and one thing that I would mention to be more specific about how my background has helped me in public service is this thing about email and send somebody a text message or all these things. I think just some basic human communication skills are being lost. In retail, this is how I say it to people out of state sometimes on the East Coast. I say, well, I learned how to walk up to a stranger and say, howdy, can I help you? If you're going to ask somebody, would you vote for me in the next election, you've got to be comfortable at sticking out your hand and handing them a brochure and in a succinct manner tell them what you stand for or why you think that you would be the best one for the office. It's really sad to me that I think some people have just never developed the ability to come up to someone and have a brief conversation. Modern methods have their pros and cons.
My life was not in retail, but it was, and I'm not far from your age, going to high school in Fergus Falls, Minnesota. It was Norby's Department Store, and George Norby lived in Fergus Falls, and I worked for him. And I can remember we would sit outside a competitor store, like O'Mara's, and we would count the customers coming in and out. That was in the 50s.
Right.
He was one of those that would say to me, and you probably said things to other people who work for you, and they can quote you to this day, he says to me, John, if you don't have anything to do, you can always do the dusting.
That's right. We had slogans like, never walk to the back of the store empty-handed. There's always a box to be carried out. And I think it's a fun business. Like, I'll go to the state fair and do things that most other people aren't doing, like just looking around and see how many women are carrying a straw handbag versus some other form, or what kind of shoes are they wearing. We had lots of private label programs, and that helped us go from $200 million to $400 million in sales. There was something that I've had people still ask me about today called Fastback Shoes. Now, we had that as a private label program, and yes, a lot of the production of those was done in the Far East. At one time, we had just an enormous market share in some of those programs. I still have fun with the fact that we had a Western shirt. You know, in Oklahoma and Texas and places we did business, people like Western shirt. Well, if you would buy it even from the big name brands, they'd have small, medium, large, extra large. Well, I'm sorry, that just doesn't fit real well. What if you get the neck size and the sleeve size to give a person a good fit? See, that's a more inventory commitment. We did that. We had 180 thread count fabric and made those shirts, and it had C.R. Anthony in the collar. That was the best Western shirt I think that's ever been around. I still got a couple of them. Anyway, it's fun to be creative. I think you have to try and look for new ways to do things and to give people a better value. And hey, it's part of the American way to try and be more efficient, to try and serve the customer. A lot of people grow up and they think the word sales is bad. Well, hey, most people are going to have to be in business of some sort, and sales are going to drive a part of it. And that's a part of participating in the modern economy.
I don't think we've taken the retail business out of you. I think it's still there. It's hard for me to believe that maybe you wouldn't be in it someday, but you've probably sworn off it.
Oh, I hope this isn't a plug, but my youngest brother, Tom Anthony, currently is the chairman and president of Golf USA, which is headquartered in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. When he wanted to buy that company, I went with him. I was the largest shareholder, and I was on the board for a period of time. I've kind of stepped back from that now, and I'm not on the board right now. I still have a big interest in the company, though. It's got more than 100 stores. As a matter of fact, I think it's like 120 or so, and about 25 of them are international, places like Spain and Portugal and Sweden and South Korea. I mean, it's just phenomenal. So I still have a little dabble with the retail business.
So you can still talk retail with your family.
That's right.